You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
A female patient came into my office yesterday complaining of chronic fatigue, brain fog, hair loss, and depression in the last 2 weeks. And as I dug deeper into her history and went into her sexual health, she mentioned that she was on birth control pills. Now, that was where the root cause was revealed. She was currently on her period, and it's been going on for 4 weeks. No wonder she was so tired and depressed. Most likely, she was severely anemic with so many days of blood loss. Today, we have Dr. Jolene Brighton, an expert on birth control side effects and post-birth control syndrome. She is a functional naturopathic medical doctor and focuses on women's endocrine health and is the author of Beyond the Pill, a 30-day program to balance your hormones, reclaim your body, and reverse the dangerous side effects of the birth control pill. Welcome to Wellness for Life, Dr. Jolene Brighton. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey there. Thanks so much for having me. I'm looking forward to chatting with you today.
Me too. First, Dr. Brighton, let's get some stats on birth control pills. You know, I'm all obviously in the post menstrual because I'm in my menopausal stage. So you know what? I attract a lot of individuals in my practice that are in the more menopausal. But I really wanted to help this woman figure out, you know, what's going on with her birth control. So how many women are currently on the pill, and are these primarily using it for prevention of pregnancy?
Yeah. So, you know, this was a bit of a shocker to me when I dove into the research on this and found that 11 million women in the United States alone are using hormonal birth control. And really, we're looking at 100 million women worldwide using the pill. The reason is not primarily contraceptive. Now, preventing pregnancy might be a secondary reason, but the number one reason women state for using hormonal birth control is for symptom management. So estimates are as high as almost 60% of women are taking it for things like acne, heavy periods, painful periods, irregular periods, and even having things like mood swings. Doctors are really prescribing this birth control pill for, you know, I call it the pill for every female ill.
Gosh, you know what? That just makes me think about some of my mother patients that come in and ask me about for their young children. And I'm talking about teenagers who are not even sexually active and who are complaining of, you know, abdominal pain, of course, premenstrual pain. And the doctors and the pediatricians I'm talking about want to put them on birth control pills.
Yeah. And it's something, you know, this is really something I think is important to understand is that I'm not anti-hormonal birth control. I would never advocate for women having that taken away from them. But we have to ask why. I mean, that's what you and I do in our practices. We ask, why do these women have these symptoms? Because sometimes maybe it's just hormonal acne, and sometimes it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. And sometimes it's, you know, irregular periods that are, you know, due to the way that you're eating or other factors. And sometimes it's hypothyroidism. I mean, these period problems, I'm doing air quotes, they have a root cause. And what's really troubling is that when we pass the pill to these young teenage girls, you know, research came out in the last few years showing that teens are 80% more likely to develop depression when they're prescribed the pill. I mean, that's no joke when it comes to these risk factors. And they are at 3 times the risk of suicide compared to women who have never used hormonal birth control.
Well, that's something that I didn't even know about. When you consider how effective, how terribly effective it is on your brain and your mood. That's, you know, suicide, that's something that teenage, you know, it's getting higher. It is getting higher, and hormonal issues is one of them. But you know what? I'd like to know, you know, when we think about these pills and what's going on, the birth control is really masking a lot of their root problems. And what we've got to do is get to the root cause of it. So let's go ahead and dig a little bit deeper. What are, besides you said, when it comes to acne, when it comes to pain, premenstrual, what are the reasons? And then, of course, some of them is PCOS. I've had a lot of cases come in with PCOS cases that are on birth control. What other reasons will the women be taking birth control? And then how can we target it and give them some solutions that they can use so that they don't have to take the pill.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is why I wrote Beyond the Pill, is because I knew that, you know, women who were experiencing menstrual cramps, period pain, having irregular periods, acne, endometriosis. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the research, 11% of women are using hormonal birth control for symptoms that are considered unspecified hormonal symptoms. Like, we have no idea what's really going on. We just know we're going to put it in the bucket of hormones and then give you a pill that shuts down your entire reproductive tract rather than digging into it. And so, knowing that, every woman within the United States, at least, she can go to her doctor with these general complaints of hormone imbalance and be offered hormonal birth control, I wanted to give solutions beyond the pill. And so within the book, you'll actually find that there's an entire chapter dedicated to understanding your menstrual cycle, what the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists called the fifth vital sign. So right up there with blood pressure and pulse, you know, all these ways we keep track of your health and know you're not going to die. Like, it's that important. Like, your period is that important. And so I take you through, what does it mean if you have a heavy period, for example? What could be causing it? What labs should your doctor test? And what can you do right now to help with those symptoms? So, like, if you're having a heavy period, maybe it's estrogen dominance, could be some, you know, early signs of endometriosis, or it could be as simple as iron deficiency anemia. And while hormonal birth control will slow the blood loss so that you aren't losing as much iron, it's not addressing the fact that you need to replenish your iron source. In fact, it can even mess with some women's guts so that they have a harder time absorbing that iron.
There's so many factors that a woman, I mean, really, like the patient that I had, she had these symptoms that, you know, I had to ask about sleep and, of course, her foods, that what she's eating. But truly, her symptoms came from blood loss, you know, the symptoms that she was dealing with. And I've got also patients who've come in after being on, let's say, not just, I wouldn't say birth control pills so much as hormonal replacement therapy. You know, when women are a little bit older, they want to go into hormonal replacement therapy. They end up having a ton of bleeding, and they have to have a DNC because their uterine lining is too thick and whatnot. And so there's so many side effects that are happening that I think the side effects are so much worse than, you know, some of the symptoms they're trying to get rid of. And one of them is also their libido changes, their weight gain. Weight gain's a biggie when it comes to birth control.
Yeah. And this is something I joke with my patients, like, the sneaky way that birth control works is it crashes your libido. So even if you are taking it because you don't want to get pregnant, the way it's really going to work is you're not even going to want to have sex. And what's even scarier with that is that, you know, there are women who are in the perimenopause and menopausal age that will be prescribed hormonal birth control by some doctors for things like hot flashes, or, you know, they're having night sweats. And the trouble is that it across the board can crash a woman's libido, but it also can lead to vaginal atrophy, so thinning of the tissue. It can cause problems where you have vaginal dryness. And this is a big reason why women will go to their doctors. And it also can make it so that if you do actually achieve an orgasm, you can have pain with orgasms. I mean, that's kind of the worst right there. If you actually do want to have sex, then it's painful. You're having pain with sex, pain with your orgasm. And with the weight gain, 100% to that, because, you know, there are studies out there that will say, it's a minimal weight gain. It's only 5 to 10 pounds, which you and I, we're not tall people. 5 to 10 pounds is, you know, it's no joke, you know, for somebody my size who's under 5'5". So we have to view it through the lens of, like, okay, well, is that, like, insignificant for this woman, and how does she feel? And we are now understanding with newer research that hormonal birth control is impacting our thyroid, our adrenal glands, our gut health, depleting nutrients, and that can have an impact on your mitochondrial health. Now, even more shocking is that it can lead to insulin dysregulation and blood sugar issues. And in fact, a study came out last year showing that if you've taken the pill for 6 months or more in your life, you're over 30% more likely to develop diabetes when you go into menopause. So there's a lot of factors that come into play of why you would gain weight while you're on hormonal birth control and why you may have trouble losing that weight when you come off of it.
You know, I got to tell you a story. About the first, I guess this was back in the 1990s. when I was doing sports chiropractic, a woman came into my office, and I've treated her many times doing chiropractic adjustments, neck and shoulder and whatnot. One day she came in with an aching shoulder, and something inside me just, you know, intuitively as a physician said, you know what? I really got to send her to UCLA because I used to work very close to the school and the hospital. And I said, you know what? You got to go up to, let me just, I don't want to adjust you. I just had a really sixth sense that something is up. And I went and had her go there to the emergency room. Well, it ended up being that night she had to have surgery because she had a saddle embolus that is blood clot in her subclavian artery of her right shoulder. And this was caused by her birth control pills, birth control. And she had to be on, you know, obviously she had the surgery and had to be on blood thinners for months because of this. And this is something that's not even talked about either, right? The blood clots are very common.
It totally is. And it's really shocking to me how many women are not told about the blood clot risk. And what often happens is if they're prescribed hormonal birth control as a young teenage girl, well, not a girl, I guess they're a woman, I shouldn't say girl, but you know, they're prescribed birth control, let's say at like 16, except that then they're still on it at 36 or 46. And so the discussion really never happened when they started hormonal birth control because their doctor was like, oh, you're young, you're not going to be in that higher risk factor group of like smokers over age 35. But I have had patients, had a 19-year-old patient who's had a blood clot, patients with strokes in their 20s. I mean, young women developing these things. And as I talk about in my metabolic chapter of Beyond the Pill, we've now come to understand that there are genetic variations that put us at much higher risk of developing a clot or a heart attack or having a stroke. And so while it's something that the research will say, oh, you know, your risk of having a stroke is very low. Well, that may be true if you're talking generally about a whole population. But if you're talking about someone who has, for example, an MTHFR mutation or factor V Leiden, so for people listening, when you have genes, you have two copies. If you have factor V Leiden gene and you have one mutation here, you're going to be at a high risk. But for women who have a full mutation, I mean, the risk is as high as a 35-fold increase of having a stroke or a cardiovascular event. And as we know, MTHFR, that is something that is really common in the population. I mean, that's something where it can be over 5-fold increased risk of having a stroke if you have that mutation. And so if you're a woman who's listening, you're feeling freaked out, you can grab Beyond the Pill. You can know exactly what lab testing you need to get done and not have that fear because you'll know what to check in on and what to talk to your doctor about your risk. And I even go through what does a heart attack look like in a woman because it looks very different than a man. And some doctors are not even aware that we present differently.
That's so true. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you go a lot about how to what's important is to go off of the pill, obviously, but you've got to give them options too, right? So if you suggest, you know, what is it that a woman can do when it comes to, let's say, if it's for birth control, what are your suggestions that a woman can switch over to?
Yeah. So when it comes to birth control, I mean, if you are wanting to prevent having a baby, that's a very individualized discussion. We have to talk about what's realistic for you. What's your family history? What is your past medical history look like? And look at your lab tests as well to understand what are you at risk for. Now, in chapter 13 of my book, I go through all the non-hormonal contraceptive options that we have out there. So there's things like fertility awareness method, which, you know, there's a lot of docs who like to make jokes about how inaccurate it is. But, and I was someone who didn't even, I was like, I don't know about fertility awareness. Like, is that going to really prevent pregnancy? But when you get into the research and you see that when done in a particular way with doing basal body temperature, measuring cervical mucus, you can actually have as high as 99% efficacy rate. So for women who are listening, you know, we're told that hormonal birth control, the pill specifically, is 99% effective. But that's a perfect use. The typical use is 91%. That means 9 out of 100 women is going to fail and you're going to become pregnant with that. And so I outline in detail all of that in my book to help you choose, okay, what's going to be best for you? So Fertility Awareness Month, why I bring it up is because the FDA last year, in 2018, they actually approved the first contraceptive device that is a digital thermometer using the premise of Fertility Awareness Method. They approved it as a contraceptive device, which is amazing. So that's one way to get to know your body, regardless of what you want to use for contraceptive reasons or purposes. But that can also be something that you choose. There's always barrier methods, things like condom, cervical cap. There are new gels being developed. So there's gels that will kill sperm. There's also new gels being developed that are going to alter cervical mucus so that the sperm can't make its way to the egg. For women listening, when you're fertile and you have that fertile cervical mucus, which is that egg white consistency, like raw egg whites, it makes tracks that are like a superhighway for sperm to get to the egg. And this gel, you know, and other technologies that sperm cannot meet the egg. And then we can look at, you know, the copper IUD. Now, copper IUD works for some women, not all women. If you have endometriosis, you have heavy or painful periods, that's not going to be a good option for you. And it's something that I always recommend, no matter what contraceptive you use, that you monitor your symptoms, that you get to know your body, get some baseline lab testing, and then whatever you choose to use, monitor yourself over time. If anything doesn't feel right to you, I mean, even with condoms, if you're talking latex condoms, some women develop allergies to that. So if anything doesn't feel right to you, that warrants a discussion with your doctor. And that's exactly what doctors are there for, is to talk to you about this and help you understand and learn what your options are.
I'd like to ask you a little bit about the IUD, you know, because I'd like to know, well, this is my feeling of what the IUD does. I'm not an expert on the IUD, but what I understood when I originally learned about it was that it creates an environment so that a fertilized egg cannot implant onto the inside of the uterine wall. Can you explain that a little bit about how the IUD really works to control pregnancies?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a couple different IUDs. Well, there's two in particular, and we put them in categories of hormonal and non-hormonal IUDs. And so the non-hormonal IUD is the copper IUD, which is the Paragard is what it's commonly known as. And so the copper prevents sperm from swimming. So it's actually toxic to the sperm. So it shouldn't meet the egg. But if it does meet the egg, you know, copper IUD has been used as a means of emergency contraceptive. So they'll in some clinics, will place the IUD within hours of having unprotected sex. And that's because it's an irritant to the uterus. And so that is something, is that it could very well be that egg and sperm do meet, that there is fertilization. But the irritation caused by the copper IUD, and there's some evidence that it upregulates the immune system, so it's inflammatory, localized to that area, could cause so that the egg doesn't actually implant. Now, with the progestin-based, those are the hormonal IUDs, that is a situation where it's also meant to alter the sperm's ability to meet the egg by the progestin should alter the cervical mucus. However, if sperm and egg do meet, the progestin thins the endometrial wall, so the lining of the uterus, so that that egg will not implant. Now, the risk of becoming pregnant with the IUDs, they're actually the lowest risk, but to actually have fertilization, that is something that can happen. And in some women, you will stop ovulating with these progestin-based IUDs, but not all women. Some women will continue to ovulate. So if that's an ethical concern for you, that's definitely a discussion to have with your doctor.
Oh, that's such a good point. But doctors don't discuss about those ethical issues, right? They don't share them. And that's important. You want to find the right form type of a gynecologist who's willing to share all this side effects and what it really means when you are using these types of birth control.
Most women don't even know how their birth control works. I mean, I spent 10 years on the pill. And it wasn't until, you know, probably 8-9 years in that I understood that there were so many hormones being put into my system that it shut down my brain from talking to my ovaries and made those ovaries unresponsive. Most of us have no idea. The discussion goes like, usually it's, you're going to college, great, here's your birth control pill, or you don't want a baby, here's a solution. And that's the end of it, is that you get the assurance that you won't get pregnant, or that those period problems are going to go away and your skin is going to be clear.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of us, we're so busy, we don't dig any deeper, and it is a quick fix, of course, and it will prevent you from getting pregnant. One of the things that I remember when I tried it, right before I went on my honeymoon with my first husband, I tried it and I thought it was a nightmare because not only did I gain weight, but, you know, and I didn't feel good. I was like so out of it and foggy brain, but I had got melasma. Mm-hmm. I had hyperpigmentation on my face when I was in Jamaica, and that was not fun.
No, anyway. And I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, I wrote about that in Beyond the Pill as well, because that's one of the side effects that does happen. And I've seen patients come in and they're like, I have this hyperpigmentation. So melasma, for everyone listening, it's a darkening of your skin. It's hyperpigmentation of your skin. And they're like, I don't know why. And it's getting worse. And my doctor has no solutions. I'm going to the dermatologist. I'm using skin lightening agents. And like, well, you're on the pill. Like, that's a known side effect of hormonal birth control. And the really disheartening thing about that is it, you know, I have seen women who've been able to clear it naturally, but it's usually deep and it takes therapy. It can't be reversed in all of these conditions. So again, you know, it's something that doctors need to be having a discussion with women about. Like, we deserve, you know, to have access to birth control as much as we deserve to have all the information we need. So at the end of the day, we know we made the best decision for our body. We know how to stay safe while we're on it. And we know that we can transition off without spiraling into hormonal hell. And so that's what I set out to do in my book, is support women wherever they are in their journey. So at the end of the day, they know they made the best decision for themselves and they know how to protect their health.
Right, exactly. You know, we have a few more minutes and I really want to go into the post-birth control syndrome. Can you describe what that is and how do we deal with it?
Yeah, so post-birth control syndrome, as I defined it in Beyond the Pill, is a collection of signs and symptoms that come up typically on average 4 to 6 months after stopping hormonal birth control. And because hormonal birth control impacts every single system in your body, it can show up as brain fog, hair loss, mood swings, anxiety, depression, missing period altogether, or a period that won't quit. You can have digestive symptoms. You can have detox issues, blood sugar dysregulation. I mean, truly, hormonal birth control impacts every system in your body. And it can be new symptoms or the return of symptoms that you were masking all along. And so with that, we have to look at the systems being impacted and understand how to address those. And within Beyond the Pill, I take you through the 5 steps of the Brighton Protocol, which is how we reverse post-birth control syndrome. We take a look at what your hormone imbalance is. Is it estrogen? Is it testosterone? Is it cortisol? You know, not all women will present the same. And there's usually one lead player in these hormones that's causing big trouble that has to be addressed. We have to look at the metabolic mayhem, as I call it. You know, the inflammation, the blood sugar dysregulation. I mean, those things are the root of all chronic disease, as is gut health. And so we have to repair the gut. As long as you're on hormonal birth control, it's decimating the microbiome and inducing leaky gut, intestinal hyperpermeability. That has to be repaired. And then we must love up your liver, because your liver is such a vital organ, but it is taking a hit for as long as you're on hormonal birth control, because it has to detox those hormones. And so that's a very important step. And I guide women in how to do all of that within Beyond the Pill. But if you're listening right now, know that hormonal birth control depletes nutrients. And if you are on it now, or you've ever been on it and you haven't done work to replenish nutrient stores, that's one of the 5 steps that you must do. So you want to start with a quality multivitamin or prenatal, eat a diet that is a variety of leafy greens, cruciferous vegetables, high quality proteins, and healthy fats, to really help you build, optimize your hormones, run your detox, and replenish those nutrient stores.
Wow. Dr. Brighton, the information you've given us is so important for all women all around the world here. Thank you so much for listening to this show. And if you know someone who's been taking birth control pills, share the show with them. It can change their life. The book is called Beyond the Pill, and it's available all over the bookstores and online. Dr. Jolene Brighton's website is www.drbrighton.com. drbrighten.com. And that's drbrighten.com. Go there and you're going to find so much information about women's health. And she's awesome. Thank you. And if this is something, this is a show that this is your first time listening, then please subscribe so I can continue to serve you with the most current health info available today. Also, connect with us on Instagram at Dr. Suzanne. I post regularly on how to become the best version of yourself through self-care, nutrition and kimchi, movement and lifestyle. And what's great is that you can engage with me directly. Yes, I respond to all of your comments personally. And if you need help in digging deeper into the root cause of your health issues so you can feel better again, I work with people globally through phone and Skype consultations. Just go to the website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.